My nurse dietitian is making sure that I don't eat the wrong things. And but again, we thank you for your prayers and ask that you continue to pray. It's good to be back up here. If you want, turn to Matthew. Actually, I'm going to start in chapter 4. I know you got your little slip there, but I want to introduce the lesson through Matthew chapter 4. We're talking about being blessed today. The word blessed is used throughout Scripture, and it has some variation in meaning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. There the word is used to praise God. He blessed the bread. Jesus did that when he fed the 5,000. So it is used to consecrate something to a holy use. And blessed is the man, you know, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And this is kind of the definition or the aspect of blessed that we want to talk about today. That means a person who is fully satisfied, at peace, and has great joy within their hearts. That blessedness that rests within the soul, that nothing can take away from you. In the Sermon on the Mount, which we're going to look at the first several verses, we often call them the Beatitudes. But I think we fall into a trap when we look at those, because blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so forth and so on, that we're seeing these as separate things, as separate traits or aspects of being a Christian. But they're not. They compose one whole of a person who is a Christian, who is following Christ. It's the same idea as with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can't pick out one of those things and say, oh, I'm going to be a lover, but I'm going to be impatient. Or I'm going to be a kind person, but I'm not going to be faithful. That doesn't work. The fruit of the Spirit, I was thinking about this, and kind of fits in with Shirley watching my diet, you know, a taco. Now, right now, I'm not allowed tacos. But you think about a taco, and I don't know what kind you like. You know, you got your shell, you got your meat with your sauce, you got your lettuce, your tomato, your cheese. But the taco flavor is when you take the bite of the whole thing, right? It's the whole thing. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's the whole thing. That's what the blessedness is that Jesus is talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. It's the whole thing. We could do Subway. You like Subway. You prepare your meat, your cheese, your lettuce, your whatever veggies you want on there, your sauce. But it's the whole taste that you're looking for. That's the idea here, fruit of the Spirit and the blessedness that comes in following Christ. All right, so let's go to Matthew 4. And I want to lead us into this, starting with verse 23. It says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Jesus here shows us how to minister to people, both body and soul. He healed all those who came to him. We read this in other places. People need that healing. They need that attention to the body, whether it's food or clothing. But also, what does it say? He was proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Too often we forget that that's really the focus of Jesus and should be the focus of the church. We can feed folks until they gain weight. We can give people clothing until they have more clothing in their closets than we do. But if we never share the gospel with them, we have missed the whole point of who we are and what God wants us to do. So Jesus sees this crowd coming, and they've been coming, and he's healing them all, but he realizes they need something more. We really need to give them what they need in the soul and on the inside. So that leads us then, you know, again, these chapter divisions are put in there by men. They're not in the original text. So in 5, it says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, rabbis, of course, were teachers. And he was a rabbi in the style of the Jewish rabbis, and that's what he did. And they usually taught very informally like this. They would teach wherever, on a hillside, walking down the road, by a well. And again, that tells you, we seize the opportunity that God gives us right in the middle of the day. You know, we're down there in Respects, we're in Kroger, we're down at the bank, wherever it is, we're ready. We seize the opportunity to speak the word that people need to hear. You know, even though Jesus was just beginning his ministry, the people were probably expecting from him at this point, you know, this is early on, that he was just like the other rabbis. You know, they had many rabbis teaching, and they taught all the time. And there were other rabbis even teaching during the time of Jesus. But if we go over to chapter 7, at the end of this, the last two verses said, when Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Most of the time, these other rabbis would refer to previous rabbis. Say it was Rabbi Zedekiah said, or Rabbi Moses said. But Jesus didn't do that. He says, you have heard that it was said, but I say unto you. How could he do that? Well, it was the word of God become flesh, right? He was the word of God become flesh. He is the Son of God. He knew the word inside and out. He knew what it was supposed to mean. And he, in the sermon, corrects many of the false impressions and false ideas about the word of God, and which means there were false ideas about God himself. There's a great contrast here as Jesus begins to talk in verse 3 about blessed. How is a person blessed? Where does that come from? The contrast, of course, is with the world. How would the world say a person is blessed or gains happiness? Happy is the person what? Who has perfect health? The world would say that, right? I'm in great health. I have no problem. I got no cancer. All my numbers are good. I can do whatever I want. I'm not saying that's not important. But see, these are the things the world focuses on. I have a secure job. Yeah, I'm working for a company, a big company. I don't think it'll ever go under. I'm in good shape. I'm all right. I'm set for life. Feels good. I got a big savings account. Nice IRA. Oh yeah, I'm good. I'm set. I have college degrees. I have this. I have that. That's the world. That's the what the world says will make you happy and give you a deep joy in your heart. And again, some of those things to have are good, but Jesus tells us something else is more important. Because you know what? There are times in life when you don't have good health. There are times in life when you aren't set financially. There are times in life when you have a lot of trouble in your family. And then what do you rely on? Then what gives you joy? This is what Jesus is talking about. This underlying foundation of blessedness in following God. So let's look at these individually. We're not going to delve too deeply in any one of them, but just we haven't been in this text for quite a while, and it's good to revisit it because it's so important. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit. Boy, how opposite that is to the world today. You know what? Doesn't mean lacking in zeal or spiritual energy, but it means humble regarding one's spiritual life. That you know, or I know, that anything I do comes from God. Anything good, I should say. That he, in fact, has created me. I'm only here because of his will. He made me in my mother's womb. And I understand that. I'm not going around boasting about me and what I've done. I'm poor in spirit because I know that my God is the one who has brought me to this point in my life right now. He is the one, if you are in Christ, who has saved you. He is the one who has blessed you, as Mike taught last week, with your abilities and skills and talents or whatever they are. It's all because of God. And this keeps us humble. And that means you are truly blessed because, you know, all these blesseds really refer to the truth. You know what is what in life. You know the reality of life. And God is the one who has brought me to this point in my life right now. Blessed is a person who is poor in spirit and knows that. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They know what matters. And they will pursue the kingdom because they want to be with Christ. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. These are people who know the heart of God. Often we think about here mourning people who have died, as our sister Tammy is now, and some of us with her. And that's part of this. But I think really here what Jesus is talking about, those who mourn over sin. They recognize the havoc and the destruction that sin has brought into the world. And they mourn because of it. They mourn because of their own sins. They recognize their own sins, and they mourn over them. Well, they're thankful they're forgiven, absolutely. I am, yes, amen. But they realize they're sinners and not measuring up. We all fall short, right? Scripture says in Romans, all fall short of the glory of God. And then we mourn over the sins of the world. Is the world not a mess today? And it's just getting messier and messier with poor leadership. I don't want to go too far down that road, but we can see it. It's everywhere. We need to be mourning over that. People are being led astray. They're being lied to. They're being moved away from Jesus. Maybe you heard this past week, this one poll taken by this very reliable company. I forget which one it was, a polling company that's been in the business for a long time, especially polling regarding religion. And they said for the first time, and I don't know what, probably since they started polling in the United States, but I'm going to say it's probably since the beginning of this country, because this country has always had people of faith. For the first time in this country, less than 50% of the people identify with any church. That's terrible. And that shows you the direction this country's going. And it should tell us the work we have to do. To stop just playing games and stop just being on the defensive. We've got to get out there with the gospel and make that our focus, to make disciples, like Jesus said. Those who mourn will be comforted. We had a lesson about a month ago before all this happened to me. The God of all comfort, if you remember from 2 Corinthians. And we'll be comforted in this life, yes, because of our, you know, forgiveness of sins and the hope that Jesus gives us. But certainly in the life to come, where we'll not have these things to deal with, we will be free of sin and all these troubles. Verse 5, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Some of your translations there will say the meek. That word there means that someone who will allow themselves to be trained. It goes back to training horses, if I recall. That we will allow ourselves to be trained by God, by his word, to become the people that he wants us to be. And so many people, I shouldn't say so many, but maybe too many, when they're baptized into Christ, they think that's it. And they just kind of keep living the way they've always lived. But that's not the way it works. We are to be trained. We need to submit to the word of God, to listen to his word, and to become the people he wants. And the good deeds, abstaining from sin, speaking the gospel, being loving husbands and loving wives and parents and everything. That's why we need, again, to be in this word and understand, what does God want me to be? What does God want me to look like? How does he want me to live? It says they shall inherit the earth. That's kind of a tricky one here. I think on one standpoint, Jesus talked about being wise as serpents, harmless as doves. You know, if we live the way of God, we're going to be blessed and we're going to do well. Okay? So if we listen to what God says, and part of when I was putting this together, I was thinking about Proverbs. There's so many good thoughts there in Proverbs about how to live your daily life, how to work hard and tell the truth and things like that. And if we do that, you know, we're going to do well in life. God's going to bless us. But then I think there might be a second aspect to this. Of course, we talk about new heavens and a new earth, our reward. And that's, we will certainly inherit the earth in that regard. However you see, eternal life. So, the gentle and the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Wow. Kind of goes back to those who mourn over sins. The hunger to see a world that does right. Do you keep looking for people to do the right thing? Do you keep wanting to hear somebody on TV say something that's good? You see, that's where we should be. Not just looking for someone to tickle our ears and say, oh, you're going to get another check in the mail. No, that's not what we want to hear. We want to hear somebody makes a good decision about something moral, something that's right, something that's good according to the Word of God. Hunger and thirst for that in your own life, knowing your own weaknesses and your own faults. Lord, help me to do better. Help me to overcome these little problems I have, or maybe it's a big problem, so I can be pleasing to you. It says they shall be satisfied. The Lord will help us conquer our sins. You know, I always go to Romans 7 with Paul, and maybe you do too, and identify with Paul there when he says, you know, what I want to do, I don't do it. And some of the things I know I shouldn't do, I do them. Yay, Paul, I understand. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we know that when Peter wrote about the new heavens and the new earth, he says, in which what? Righteousness dwells. So that's where we're headed. That's where we're headed. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Wow. Are you a merciful person? Do you forgive? Do you wait to pass judgment until you find out all the facts you can in a situation? Sometimes we really jump to conclusions, don't we? Yeah, we're quick to judge. We're not very merciful. And when somebody has hurt us particularly, you know, sometimes that's hard. But we have to do it. I think Jesus goes on in the sermon to talk about, if you don't forgive, what? You won't be forgiven. You know, that is true. We just cannot skip over that part of that verse and ignore it. It's the truth. We want merciful. If we want mercy, I keep saying it. We need to be merciful. We need to have, again, the heart of God. To see and understand we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. Some people have been in horrible backgrounds and situations where they never even heard of Jesus. Let's try to understand and let's be merciful. And let's lead people in the right direction. Let's lead them to God. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow. Another difficult one here. Jesus talked about in Mark 7 that all sin begins in the heart. You can read that later this afternoon if you want. And this is what was going on in the days of Noah, wasn't it? And all the people, they just continually thought about how to do something evil. That's where it starts. It starts in here, in the mind, and then it translates into action. So I need to have that pureness of heart. I don't know that anyone can ever obtain absolute pureness of heart. But I think here the idea that we can grasp is that it's a single-minded heart that is fully devoted to Christ. You know, he talks about a house divided, right? You can't serve two masters. And I think this is what he's talking about. We need to be fully and totally devoted to Christ and want to do his will. That doesn't mean we'll not sin. But this is my mind and this is my heart. I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to be pleasing to him, as Paul wrote, and not please myself, not working to please somebody else at the expense of the word of God. Not to do that. Not to do that. The pure in heart, he says, they shall see God. I think the pure in heart have seen God for a long time. They've seen God in the Word, in Jesus Christ. They've seen God in creation. They've seen God all around them. But, you know, we sing a couple of the songs that talks about seeing our Savior in the by and by. You ever thought about that? What will that be like to actually see Jesus? It will be a reality. You know, and that's something that keeps the Christian going. You're fully devoted to him. You want to see him. You want to be with him. You want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Blessed are the poor in heart, the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. The reconcilers, those who try to mend relationships, whether it's a husband and a wife, whether it's parents and children, whether it's two friends, whether it's somebody who's separated from God and they're trying to bring them back to the Lord. You're a peacemaker. You're not one who stirs up strife. You're not one who gossips and talks and creates problems. No. No, a person like that is not blessed. Not at all. Have you ever had the joy of bringing two people back together, or bringing someone to the Lord? That is a blessed feeling. And some of you have done that. And you know what joy that is, to know that that conflict and that trouble has been resolved. Blessed are the peacemakers, called sons of God. Jesus was the Prince of Peace, wasn't he? And he brought reconciliation between God and man, between Jew and Gentile, everyone in the church. This is what we're talking about. There's a blessedness there. And lastly, starting with verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Wow. There's a hard one. We have to be sticking our necks out, if you want to use that term. We have to be speaking up. We have to be standing for the right, standing against evil, trying to persuade people about Christ. We have to be willing to say, I don't agree with that. The scripture says something else. And we know in today's day and age, it's going to bring ridicule, words, whatever. Maybe somebody say, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And you have to say, well, so be it. I'll be here when you want to talk. We have to put Christ first in his word, and know people need to hear the truth. Persecution has come to those who stand up for what's right. We're told that in scripture. Jesus said it. Paul wrote it. Sometimes it's been worse than others. We know even today in some countries overseas there is physical persecution. People put in jail and so forth for their faith. We can't hold back. As we said earlier, you know, less than half of this country now identifies with the church. Why? Maybe because the church has been afraid to speak up, and we've been busy with other things. Shame on us. Rejoice and be glad. Your reward in heaven is great. That means you're doing something good. Isn't that what happened to Jesus? Isn't that why we're here? We had the reading. He was crucified. What was happening to him there? The robbers were railing on him. The chief priests, the scribes, the elders were railing on him. Yeah, but he was doing his Father's will to save us from our sin. Praise God. If we think about it, every one of these characteristics was found in Jesus. Every one of them. And that's what we're trying to be. His disciples. Blessed are. It's not for the faint-hearted or the half-hearted nor the stubborn-hearted nor the divided-hearted, but it's for those who are fully devoted to Jesus. You will be blessed in what you do. You have this joy, this deep satisfaction that you are on the right path, serving the Lord. God bless you today.
Thank you for listening today. For more from Jeff Kent and the Shady Side Church of Christ, please go to our website at cofcshadyside.com. There you can access our entire library of Sunday church lessons and Jeff's weekly blog. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, under Shady Side Church of Christ. Remember, all are welcome. Thanks again. Have a blessed week.